Greetings in the name of Jesus. Now, one of the greatest challenges of the Christian life is constantly distinguishing between what is really Christian and what is cultural. Now, there are some things that we see in our world and we know immediately that that's not Christian, but there are other things that are so widely held, so deeply believed that we just start to take them in as Christian truth without really reflecting on them. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great things that we get from our culture. For instance, this morning is Father's Day, which is a wonderful blessing that we get from our surrounding culture. It's a chance for us as Christians to reflect and be grateful for our earthly fathers and our heavenly Father. But there are other things that it would be helpful to take some time to reflect and figure out if they're really as Christian as we think. And the Apostle Paul's words in Romans today challenges one of our commonly held beliefs. So in Romans 6, Paul is writing to a group of Christians in the city of Rome. And at the very beginning of this reading, it sounds pretty familiar to a lot of us. Paul tells them, "You are not under law, but under grace." Oh, that sounds great, right? We love that. We know that it's nothing that we do that makes us right with God, but it's purely the gift through Jesus Christ that has restored our relationship with our Creator. And then Paul writes that you were once slaves to sin. And again, we know that that was our past life before the Holy Spirit created faith, before we were baptized into the church. We used to be slaves to our sinful nature apart from God, but that has been undone by the death and resurrection of Jesus. But what I found really fascinating about this passage is that Paul is setting it up as a then and now. You used to be slaves to sin, but now, that's where it gets interesting. Because I would have thought that Paul would say, you used to be slaves to sin, and now you're free. But that's not what he says. In fact, Paul uses the word free twice in this passage. And the first time, he actually uses it in a negative way to describe our previous selves. And then the second time, he says you're free, but then immediately follows it up by saying that you're slaves to a different master. So what's going on here? Because for many of us, including myself, we've bought into the idea that freedom is always great. The more freedom, the better, right? The good life is pictured with autonomous, self-determining, I can do what I want, when I want. Nobody can tell me otherwise. But if we're being honest, that actually doesn't work out so great. Because what happens is when we start living for our own wants and our own desires, it comes at the expense of those around us and those that God has called us to love. Just for a little snapshot, when you're driving home from work, and you're really excited to get home, maybe you've had a rough day, your desire to cut somebody off to get home a little bit quicker trumps their experience. Or if we're taking seriously the conversations that are happening in our country, often I allow my desire to be comfortable, agreeable, or nice, I allow that to trump the need to speak out against racist or sexist comments or speak in favor of those who are being oppressed because I want to be just a nice, good guy. This is a great challenge for so many of us. For instance, we also want to be right. We want to feel good about ourselves, so it's hard to apologize for when we've messed up or even admitted that we've made a mistake. The truth is that when we live only for our desires, things go quickly sideways. And in fact, Paul says that when we're a slave to sin, the end result is ultimately death. And Paul seems to be getting at this phenomenon towards the end of our reading. Because he says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. So there's that use of the word free. But he actually says that when you were slaves to sin, that's when you were free. Because you were free from any moral standard and you were free from having to live God's will. You could do whatever you want, right? How great is that? But then Paul asks this powerful question. And what fruit did you get of that then? Basically, and what did that come out with? What did you get of it? Was it really all that it was cracked up to be? You see, Paul is pointing out that, sure, they were doing what they want, but they knew that that was not how they were meant to live. And in fact, Paul calls them out and says that those acts that they used to do, now they know that they're shameful. They're nothing to be proud of. You see, the truth is that you will always be in servitude. Let me say that again. You will always be in servitude. You will always be enslaved to something. Let me explain that a little bit. In 2005, the author David Foster Wallace gave a graduation commencement speech at a college. And during that, he said this: "There's no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship." What Wallace was pointing out is that we all treasure something. We all chase after something. We all serve something. Wallace noticed that all of our hearts are attuned to some person or object or ideal, and our only hope is for these things to be directed towards the right things. And Wallace warns against the danger of treasuring or worshiping or serving things like money or beauty, because he says they will eat you alive. And we know this, and thankfully we have the Holy Spirit, which is the only way that our hearts can be turned to the one true God, the one true treasure on this earth. So what we find, though, is that the opposite of sin is not freedom, but the opposite of being a slave to sin is being a slave to righteousness. But what does that mean? Right? Because it still sounds pretty weird to us. We don't like the idea of being enslaved to something or being a servant of something. Well, the way Paul describes it in verses 16 and 17 is with the word obedience. Specifically, he says, obedience from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. So he's saying that in our deepest convictions, down to our heart, we are pointed towards the right things. And those right things are the teaching that has been passed down, the teaching that you probably heard from your parents or your pastor or your Sunday school teacher or friends, the teaching that Jesus Christ died and rose for you and that you've been given new life. And now he is the one you listen to. We obey God above all else. So if you're wondering, how far does this go, right? How far do we really have to obey God? Well, Paul makes it pretty explicit. He actually says, now that you've been freed, there's a second use, freed from being slaves of sin, you're now a slave to God. It's pretty extreme. And if you don't believe me, look at our other two readings from today. So our Old Testament reading, we looked in with the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was God's mouthpiece for God's people well before Jesus. So at this time, God's people have turned their backs on him, and they're neglecting and abusing the poor in their community. And Jeremiah is speaking on behalf of God, calling them to love their neighbor and to turn back to God. And what does he get for it? Well, as he writes this, he is shackled, and he is beaten and tortured. He's ostracized and cast out. It's pretty tough. And he's in so much despair that at the very beginning of our reading, he cries out to God and says, "Oh Lord, you have deceived me, and I have been deceived." Why is he here? Because he obeyed God. Because he's a slave to righteousness. And then in our gospel text, we have the words of Jesus. So Jesus is talking to his 12 closest disciples, and he's about to send them out on a mission. They're going to go around Israel and tell the good news that the coming Messiah has come, and his name is Jesus, and that he has brought in a new reign of God. And this is a reign of justice and forgiveness and restoration. But he warns them that as they go around sharing this message, this good news, that actually it's going to do a lot of destruction. You see, people are going to rebel and fight back, and it's actually going to tear families apart. And the disciples are going to be persecuted too. He tells them, hey, if they have rejected the Son of Man, the Son of God for this message, how much more are they going to do that to you? This is really tough, and it sounds really extreme, being a slave to righteousness. And, well, that's because it is. You see, this is a huge task and something that a lot of us are probably wondering if it's even possible to achieve. Especially because, you know, we were slaves to sin, and slaves don't get to pick a new master, and servants don't get to choose who they want to serve. But you know what? We do know that we have switched hands, that we have a new master, our Lord Jesus. And I know this because earlier in this same chapter, Paul writes that when you were baptized, you actually died with Jesus. And in dying with him, you were freed from your bondage to sin. And not only that, not only did you die with Jesus, but that means you rose with him and that you have a new life of belonging to him. And again, we sometimes want to reject the idea of being a servant of somebody, but that means that we belong to Jesus. That means that he is on our side and he is caring for us, fighting our battles. Don't believe me? Look back at Jeremiah. You see, he was ostracized and beaten. But you know what he says? He still says the Lord is a warrior, that the Lord is on his side fighting his battles and protecting him. Jeremiah goes so far to say, the Lord has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. Jeremiah can speak God's truth with confidence, his commands and his promises, because he knows the Lord is on his side. And when we look at Jesus sending out his 12 disciples, he warns them that they'll face persecution. But you know what else he says? Do not be afraid. Because those people that will come after you, that will make you an outcast or attack you, they can only hurt the body. But God, he holds the body and the soul. Now, it's not that the body isn't important, but ultimately, we've been promised resurrection. We know that whatever is done to us in this lifetime, God will raise us from the dead when Jesus returns, and all of our blemishes will be made perfect, all of our scars, and all of the things that have been done to us. And we will enjoy eternal life with Jesus. Jesus drives this image home by pointing out that sparrows are small, insignificant creatures. But he says that not a single one of them falls to the earth apart from God. And he's not saying that sparrows will never fall to the ground or never get hurt or die, but he says that it is all in God's hands. And we know that God is caring for his creation and especially you, his baptized child, the one who obeys him, a slave to righteousness. And when you acknowledge Jesus before mankind, when Jesus returns, he'll acknowledge you before his Father. And you know what his Father is going to say to you? Well done, good and faithful servant. As I conclude, I want to just say two quick things. One, I realize that this is a tall task, to obey God above all other things. Because our old master, sin, he's trying to lay a claim on us. And there will be times that we're going to slip up. But even when we slip up, we know that we've been forgiven. That it does not undo the work that Jesus has done for us. And he's given us his Holy Spirit so that we continue to grow into new life and new obedience to his will. And he's given us our brothers and sisters in the faith, those here at Blessed Savior, to encourage us along the way. Finally, I want to suggest that the promise of resurrection and eternal life doesn't make this life less meaningful or only a stop along the way. Rather, knowing that we've been promised eternal life with Jesus, we can live this life in full obedience to God, knowing that no matter what others do, we stand with the one who holds all things together. What a beautiful message. And we not only have been made servants of God, but we've made sons and daughters of the living God. Let us live out this promise as we go forward each and every day in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.